Welcome back to the Albion Roar as we embark on our 19th season here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, on Smart Speaker, and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm AD Packham and we're thrilled to be back with you in association with Flowers Unlimited. So then, pre-season is done, the cones have been put away, and we can get on with the very real business of kicking off the new season. We've seen players come in and players go out, and the fabled rumour mill has linked some of our star assets with all and sundry. Perhaps the biggest story of the summer was that of João Pedro moving to Chelsea and then starring in their Club World Cup win. It was a move that Paul Barber quipped, "Yeah, Chelsea get loyalty points for shopping with us now." We've also seen crowd favourites Purvis Estupiñan head to AC Milan, Simon Adingra go to Sunderland, and Valentin Barco go to Strasbourg. We've also seen Evan Ferguson go out on loan to Roma. Obviously, we've also seen some new players arrive, with Babis Charalampos coming in from Olympiacos, Maxim de Kuyper arriving from Club Bruges, Olivier Boscagli coming in from PSV, Tommy Watson from Sunderland, and Diogo Coppola from Hellas Verona. And we've also seen Jack Hinterwood return from the under-21 Euros with a winner's medal around his neck. So the big kickoff is on Saturday with Fulham, our visitors. Who will start? Who will miss out? And who will our new heroes be? Joining me today, as we find out, is Andy Bass. We've got Marcus Hancocks. Phil Shelley is here. And so is Vicky Rees. You may have noticed that there is no Alan Wares today. That is because Alan is currently unwell, and we'll all, of course, wish him a very, very speedy recovery. And hopefully he should be back next week. So welcome, guys. How are we feeling? Last season, it was second highest record points tally, Marcus, but I know you wanted more.
Oh, of course I wanted more. I wanted a lot more. For me, it was well documented last season. I felt we felt a bit flat. The end of season run is akin to Palace's end of season run the season before, when we were playing teams with nothing to play for. So of course I expected near enough maximum points out of Spurs, Liverpool, and Wolves. Obviously, we were then relying on Palace losing the FA Cup to Man City, and that didn't happen. But if we'd have won more games, especially at home, it wouldn't have been an issue, and we would have had European football. Yeah. So, for me, he said he's learned. Let's hope he has.
Andy, we were saying at the end of the season that the season probably finished too early, actually, because we were just starting to find our straps again.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of disagree with Marcus on this. I think we did pretty well. I think when you're trying to qualify for Europe, the margins are very thin, and we can all point at points that were dropped here, but I think we can also point at points that we picked up in exciting and maybe fortuitous fashion. But the fact was, we had quite a big squad turnover in the summer, as per usual. I'm sure we'll talk about that today as well. We also had a new manager that came, who, whilst very exciting and very promising, has really only managed at a lower level than the Premier League. So it's going to be, as well as like the learning curve we expect our players to go on, there's also a learning curve for our manager as well. And personally, I think there was a lot of development and growth in the way that Hertzler managed the team, particularly after the Chelsea defeat. Yeah. At Stamford Bridge, where I think he realised, hang on a minute, I don't think this team can play the way that I prefer to play. I'm going to have to do something else. And he did. He sorted it out. Again, curse of injuries. I personally think that was the difference between us and European qualification. But I don't really see how having the second best points haul in our Premier League history, our top flight history, could be regarded as a disappointment. I get the frustration that we aren't in Europe, because we've been in Europe. We want to be in it again. Yeah. And to be honest, I think we will be in it again. Maybe next season, maybe the season after that. But I think we're on a trajectory where that becomes a very real possibility. But I was encouraged. I thought that it may have been a slightly on the beach opponent schedule at the end, but we took care of business. And that's what you have to do when you're given these opportunities to get a tap in, do it. So and we did. I think it was good attitude, good character from the team to keep going, and we still had a chance of European qualification going into the final round of fixtures,
Yeah.
which I don't think is too bad for a debutant coach from the second division in another country.
Yeah, Vicky.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much in agreement with Andy. I think, getting into Europe is hard. You've got to be consistent on the pitch. You've got to, you've got to take those points in the games where they're quite fine margins there. You've got to remember to answer your emails. And I just think there's so many other teams
I don't
in
know what you're
that.
saying there.
There's so many other teams in the mix. If you look at it last season, for long periods, the press were talking about Bournemouth and Bournemouth are going to get into Europe. And then they started talking about Brentford and, oh, Brentford might just sneak in. And then they even started talking at one point about Fulham, which, they always do that when Fulham go on their annual sort of 9-game winning streak or whatever it is, and then fade like they always do. But, we were, it was very fine margins there. I think it was a very young team. I think there was still an element that perhaps we didn't have the players to make the system work that Herzl wants to play. And I think ultimately last season we had the goals in the team, we had the creativity in the team when people were fit. But I don't think our defence was anywhere near as good as the other teams at that level. If you look at Bournemouth's defence, all right, they've sold most of them now, but Palace's defence, even though they finished 12th. Teams like Brentford, Forest had far, far better defences than we did, and that's what the
Yeah,
difference was.
I mean, it's Phil, and I mean, I know Marcus, you're going to love this, but I mean, our better form last season did coincide with Adam Webster being in the team.
I think you're probably right there. I think I kind of agree with both Marcus and Andy. I agree with everyone. I love everyone today. I think if you, now that the dust has settled, if you think about it, that was Hertz's first season as a Premier League manager, as a manager at any level above, I suppose English League One level, really. It's quite astonishing how well he was able to take a team that had been pulled apart a little bit by transfers. Of course, we brought a whole load of players in, which was exciting. We probably didn't see the best of most of those players, but I still have those niggles, those games that we failed to put to bed, those games that we that you know when we managed to not get 3 points against Wolves, that was nothing to do with Hertzler. It's like, and that's just it, that made me sort of at the time furious, but in hindsight, yeah, things like this happen. But it did happen more than once to us last season, and I think
Yeah,
that's why
there
I
was the
was
Leicester game as well,
frustrated.
wasn't there?
Yeah, and I think that's
That
well, Leicester at
was
home. So there was frustration and so on, but yeah, you've got to take the fact that we had a very new manager who really did pull a rabbit out of the hat a couple of
Yeah.
times, and the signings we've made. Well, there's some very interesting sounding players in it. I've not seen any of the pre-season, I have to say,
Yeah.
but yeah, I think on balance, I think Marcus and Andy and Vicky
Yeah.
pretty much summed everything how I feel. I still feel I have the right to be fed up and naffed off about those
Yeah.
ridiculous draws. But on the other side of the coin, don't get me wrong, we got 3 points off of Liverpool at the end of the season that we wouldn't have got if they hadn't have already been
Yeah.
champion. So.
I mean, regular listeners of this show will know how incredibly annoyed I was about that Wolves game and that Leicester result, losing a 2-0 lead in the 86th minute is just bad game management. But we did it trying to get more goals, and actually that's also won us points. I mean, if you think about the game at home to Man United, where we kept going until the 96th minute, the game against Fulham, where we kept going to the 96th minute, and we get winners, and we keep going to try and score more goals. And I think there is an element of game management that they did start to learn towards the end of the season. I mean, I point to the fact you needed a little bit more of experience on the pitch. I mean, the fact that we lost James Milner for most of the season last year, he's not going to be a starter, but if you bring him on in those sort of situations where you're trying to close out a game, his experience and know-how in that situation will be is crucial, Andy.
That's maybe one element that was missing there, just a little bit of an old head, because it was a younger team, and I'd agree. I mean, the defense wasn't good enough, And I think it's been quite clear that we've recruited a number of new defenders in the summer. So I'm glad that the message has got through. I would expect the defence that finishes this season to be considerably different to the one that played in last season, because it wasn't very good at all. We let in 59 goals. We let in 59 goals again, then we're not going to get into Europe, and we have to get that number down to definitely less than 50, ideally around about the 40, 45 mark. And then, because I think we're going to score the same amount of goals. I think we're still going to score loads of goals. It's just whether we let too many in again.
Vicky?
Yeah, I think, when we talk about some of the stupid goals, I think absolutely lack of experience came into play there. Because if you think about things like, was it Belieber conceded a couple of slightly daft penalties or certainly naive challenges? Minty did as well. Although he did provide us with that highlight of the overhead kick that went for a corner. But, there was a few bits and pieces like that. I don't think it was Bart's best season either, but hopefully we've got the new coach in. Hopefully that sort of, it's another season under his belt. Hopefully that picks him up a bit as well. Although, yeah, maybe after watching that Wolfsburg game, that's hit and miss again. But he had a very good game. I'm just not sure about their
But the
goals.
high line
But
was back, Vicky. The high line.
yeah, well, yeah. I mean, but then it was a mix, wasn't it? And I think, I really don't get that bothered by friendlies. But my one takeaway from that Wolfsburg one was just, a couple of times when Lewis Dunk got caught miles upfield and, was absolutely nowhere to be seen as the opposition were breaking forward at pace. I mean, to be fair, he did to catch one of the blokes and pull him back. But I suspect he won't get close enough to Premier League defenders to do that. So that's my worry, but I'm sure you're going to get onto those.
Well, you know who the referee was on Saturday,
Yes, well, it could only have been Salisbury or Atwell, couldn't it?
Yes, it was Salisbury.
Yeah,
It's like he was
but
there, he was booking a load of
the
people in the friendly. Some things never change.
relevance is gone.
But yeah, okay. Well, I mean, we'll talk about the players that have come in very shortly. But let's have a look at the players that we have lost. It's a very strange one with João Pedro, because I mean, obviously I think he was a big star for us. He had some big moments. The throat cutting against Palace, that goal against Marseille. But I don't think the reaction of him going, I don't think he was actually that universally loved by everyone. Marcus?
No, well, no, he wasn't. And I think that's because he always sort of was stop start with us, interesting. I think Fabian hasn't said who's going to take the penalties next season. So, that'll be interesting. I wonder who'll be stepping up, when we get them.
He
But
was
when we had,
asked that post-match on Saturday, actually, and
yeah,
he said, "I haven't decided yet."
he was non-committal, but that's fine. I mean, it's still a week to sort it out. Depends who's on the pitch, probably. But
Did Kuipers take a number four?
yeah,
Did
quite.
Kuipers take a number
Well, yeah,
four?
I would have Dunk. I mean, he smashes him in. But anyway, that's no, he's taken it. He, I would anyway. But anyway, yeah, but Pedro, yeah, he wasn't universally loved, as you say, Andy. I think, people were a bit nonplussed. It's always Chelsea anyway. I think we just shrug our shoulders. Oh, we sold another player to Chelsea. Okay, fine. Who's it going to be next season? Belieber, probably, if it's not this season, the Man United. Yeah, sad to see him go. But at the same time, not a great loss, I think, is it's fair to say. In the grand scheme of things, clearly he wanted out. Clearly he was did whatever he did to try and arrange his exit, shall we say, training ground reports and so on and so forth. So Chelsea paid the money that we want, so off he went, all fresh for the World Club Championship, because he was his time on Copacabana Beach, didn't he? So he's
Well, it's
parachuted
funny you
straight
say, 'cause
there.
I've got a theory about Xiao, and I don't know if you guys agree with it, but Xiao's attitude seemed to change since he went away with Brazil and they gave him the number 9 shirt, and he came back, his mindset had changed.
I think he's always been that kind of player. He's a very talented footballer and he knows it. And he's got the ego to match. And in order to be successful at a very top level, you have to have that ego. You look at someone like Cristiano Ronaldo, and it's a sort of, perhaps it's a similar thing, but I think he has always had in his head that he's going to go on to better things. Quite rightly, you've got to be ambitious. And I think he now sees himself in a place befitting of his talents. And I have no doubt that he'll be sadly very successful at that horrible club. But because he's now surrounded by players that I think he thinks are on his level. And I think that was the ego thing. And that's probably why he wasn't someone that fans warmed to. Yes, we can acknowledge he was a good footballer, very good footballer, a bit hit and miss. And you could see the arms going in the air when he didn't get it his own way, or he didn't get refereeing decisions or whatever. And he drove you nuts at times, sitting and rolling around on the floor looking for decisions or flinging his elbows out at people.
Yeah.
He is going to fit in like a dream at Chelsea, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, he is. Oh, my God. Yeah. And he's got a
It's
good
too,
hand
it just seems sad that
spin
he's
for
actually hit the ground running there. Because
the
I thought, because I mean, obviously we're not going to talk about Chelsea too much, but I mean, they've signed an awful lot of players again this summer, and I wondered how much game time he was going to get, and was it a mistake for him to go there, particularly in a World Cup year when he's going to. But it looks like he's going to be first choice. So, well, I don't wish any good luck to him at all. I hope he fails terribly, and
Hope he doesn't get
misses the World
inked early
Cup.
on or
But that's sour grapes. But okay, another player to go was Purvis Estupiñán. I think there was a little bit more sadness about this. I mean, I love Purvis. I mean, perhaps his it wasn't his greatest season last year, but when he was good, he was really good. And that link up that he had with Karim Mitoma was quite delightful at times, Vicky.
Yeah, I think his first 18 months here were great, and for me, he was never absolutely top class, but he was a solid 7 out of 10 every week. That's what I thought about him in his first season under De Zerbi. He was solid 7 out of 10 every week. He's never dropped. Worked really well with Mitoma. I thought, he got that injury, didn't he? He was out for quite a long time, and De Zerbi left, and he came back. He scored a goal against Spurs, a goal against Stoke, I think it was in the cup, and. But I'm sorry, for me, he hasn't been the same player for 18 months, and he's been driving me crazy how many times he's got caught out of position. And he's another one who I don't think he's got the ego like João Pedro had, but he obviously knows he's capable of playing at a high level. He knows he's going to get that opportunity. And I have no ill feeling against him, but I'm not particularly crossed about the fact that he's gone. He's very much replaceable. And after the way he played last season when he was in, I'm quite happy for someone else to get that opportunity.
Phil, do you agree?
Yes, a bit. I think yes, his form definitely never recovered completely after his injury. He was exciting to watch on more than one occasion, and as you said, the link-ups with Mitoma early doors, he just seemed to be. It was almost a, where did this player come from? And this is exactly what Brighton do. We bring these players in, so we either bring kids in who turn out to be amazing, or we bring someone like him in, and he knocked our socks off for the first year or first season, or certainly the first half a season. The frustrating thing is that he did show some glimmers last season when he first came back. I just think I hope I'm reading far too much into it, and I know Andy will tell me that I am. Pedro got the ump and left. Estupiñán got the ump, didn't get the ump, but he kind of didn't pull it, and he's gone. And he's gone arguably to a better team than us. So we can't keep him, but he's gone to a better team. That seems really a little bit strange to me, and I hope there isn't anything underlying at the Albion that is perhaps unsettling the players. I don't know. But listen, we waited for years for a 20-goal-a-year striker. We get one, and the following season he disappears.
Yeah, 10 of them
Well,
are penalties,
but
they don't count.
first
But
of
Andy, do
all,
you agree?
no, I
Said you
don't.
wouldn't.
But I do think Purvis knew the writing was on the wall for him here. I think it was clear that we were going to be looking at buying someone in his position. And to be honest, he never regained that pre-injury form where he was where he gave us his best performances. And yeah, we all liked him. And I think that the Milan move is a really good move for him. I
Yeah.
think it's the league isn't as quick as here. I think he will thrive
much more in that environment than he will in the Premier League. I think the Premier League had kind of got past him a little bit. I mean, that sounds a bit unfair because he is a good player, and I do like him, so I'm not overly criticising him. But I think for what the club wants, I think he wasn't at the level that we wanted. I think he was probably reading the tea leaves and saw that was going to happen, and the move was of mutual benefit to the club and him.
Well, would you say the same about Simon Adingra then? Because I mean, again, the first season he's probably played more than he was expected to. It's just a bit sad that it didn't really work for him last year. It was bits and pieces, but and didn't really quite get there, did he? Really, last season.
No, he didn't. There's another one whose form suffered a little bit after, particularly after AFCON. I mean, the guy worked his absolute socks off, and I think fatigue probably played a part in that level drop. But he still contributed loads, surprisingly large amounts of assists and some good goals as well. But again, this is a position where you've got Mitoma and Minter are going to be like the first choice. He's going to be the third, and normally he would like be playing on his wrong foot if he was in. We signed Tommy Watson. Babis can play out wide as well. Again, I think this is a good move for him. I think Sunderland have made some intriguing signings. I think Udogie is going to be one of their better players this year, and I think he'll help them create plenty of chances. They might give him a chance of staying up, who knows? But again, I think a good move for both player and club.
Yeah,
The
Vicky.
things we
Oh, sorry, Marcus, go on.
I don't think Adingra's got worse. I just think he's probably hit his ceiling and we've just moved on slightly. That's all it is. It's no disrespect to him, but I think he's a decent winger for a team probably sort of I don't try to be harsh to him actually. He's clearly got some skills, and he's a good footballer. But I think a team, well, I mean, he should be better than a team like Sunderland, and I only mean that because they've literally just been promoted. But I think it's more us progressing. Minte came in and Minte was manifestly better than him, and Matoma's always been better than him, and so he's the sort of guy that, you know what, we signed him, we've made a profit on him. He's gone to a good club and he goes with, I think, everyone's good wishes because he was a thoroughly nice chap. He never moaned. And I just think it's purely and simply because if you're trying to aspire to Europe, then he's probably not quite at that level.
Well, I mean, the other big move out this summer, I mean, and we could talk about Barco going permanently to Strasbourg, but I mean, we didn't really see enough of him, which is just disappointing that it didn't quite work out, but that's the way it goes sometimes. But perhaps the most interesting one here is Evan Ferguson going to Roma. It is a loan. I think they have got an option to buy, and he certainly seems to have hit the ground running. Obviously, you can only beat who you're playing against, and I don't think they've been playing against high level people. But it looks like it, for all intents and purposes, like he might have got his mojo back though.
Good. I hope so.
Good for him.
Good for him. I think it's an excellent move. He's not going to be first choice for us, I think, which is unfortunate. But new start, new division. I was a bit miffed when he went to West Ham because I thought, well, West Ham really. And then they did, ended up not playing him anyway. So, but he's going to be a regular for Roma, and hopefully he pings him in from all angles. And then we go, actually, you can. FO with that option to buy. We'll have him back, thank you very much, because we know what he
Well,
could do. Let's hope he, as you say, AD, he gets his mojo back. I think it's.
we've all been to that stadium, haven't we? And they make a magnificent racket in there, don't they?
I think it's a good move for him. New country as well. Fresh start for him, probably what he needs. A little bit sad to see him go because I think he probably could have done a job for us, but he clearly isn't going to play every week, which is what he needs to get his mojo back. He's only going to be coming off the bench and stuff like that. So, yeah, good on him. Good
Well,
move.
okay, you are listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. And we are absolutely delighted to be brought to you again in association with Flowers Unlimited, which is a wonderful shop in Portland Road in Brighton. And, you know, they do such wonderful flowers, chocolates. You can send champagne. It's get yourself down there, 175 to 177 Portland Road, Flowers Unlimited.
It's just round the corner from this cinema.
Indeed, indeed. But you know, it always delights me when I see their advertising flashing around the Amex. It's Dave's a good egg, and yeah, we're delighted to have him on board again for another season. Okay then, so we've also seen Cashin go to Birmingham. There's been a whole host of people gone out on loan, and like good luck to those guys as well. But it's quite a bloated squad still at the moment, and obviously we were seeing lots and lots of rumours about Carlos Baleba possibly going somewhere else. I'm not hearing an awful lot of truth in it at the moment from the sources close to the ground. But it's, I don't think he's going to go this year, Andy.
I don't think they're certainly not planning on selling him this year. I think it's like Caicedo, they had a plan and Chelsea upset the apple cart by making an offer that was too good to refuse. I would fully expect Baleba to be going next summer. As I think they've actually planned for like maybe Yao Corre or somebody else, or you know, Gomez or Weaver or whatever, to take up the mantle in subsequent years. But Baleba is a great talent. It's not a surprise that there are rumours about him. Whether these rumours have any kind of veracity or not, I don't know. But we all know how, you know, regardless of what we think of it, we all know how this plays out. If there's an offer that's big enough and the player wants to dig his heels in, then he'll go. But the thing is that we actually hold quite a good hand. He's got 3 years on his contract, as I understand it. I just have to be corrected on that. But we, you know, he's got a long tenure left on his contract. We value him very highly. If someone does want to take him, then it is going to cost them, and we are prepared to dig our heels in on that. We did that with Moises Caicedo and got the price up to a sum that most people couldn't really believe. But then who knew? We were actually kind of okay with that Caicedo. And I suspect ultimately we will be without Baleba, but he's a brilliant player, and losing him would be a tremendous blow, especially at this late stage of the transfer window, because I, as confident as I am that we will replace any player that we sell, to kind of do it on short notice and do it ahead of schedule is going to set back our game plan. So let's hope it's all fire and no smoke.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I mean, if you're a football club and you're looking for a midfielder, you should be looking at Baleba. It's just he's one of the best talents in the league, you know, and so. But you know, if someone does want him, it's going to cost them more than it did for Moises Caicedo. So, particularly at this stage with the length of the contracts, I mean, I think there's a lot of rubbish going on, particularly in socials. And who knew that the Man United fans are actually possibly worse than the Chelsea fans on there at the moment? But
well, given that it's Manchester United are the club in question, you know, having a rumour with Manchester United associated to it, you know, that is appealing to a lot of people that can grift off this rumour. So it's one that's going to get circulated on social media by the usual suspects, because they, you know, they'll be driving traffic to their content and they'll make some money out of it. It doesn't really matter whether it's true or not, but, you know, we have seen it all before. My perception is that probably United have not made us a formal offer yet, but I would not be surprised if Manchester United had spoken to Baleba's agent, or you know, I think there would be some truth in that contact has been made between Manchester United and the players' representatives. And you know, Carlos is a young player; he's very excitable. He's an absolute joyous player. There's, you know, an opportunity to play for one of the highest profile clubs. You could see a head turning situation here. I don't think it is, but I think the club are highly motivated to keep him.
Yeah.
And I think we will fight. We might lose that fight to keep him, but it will be on that, it will be on our terms.
I mean, that is my concern, that he might get his head turned. I think he's young, and obviously, like for an African player, to be linked with a club like Man United, who are possibly one of the biggest clubs in on that particular well in the world, and particularly in Africa, you could see him getting his head turned. But if his agents have actually made contact with him, I believe that is a term called tapping up, and it is actually illegal.
Well, we all know what rules
It's
count
no
for.
different to
We
what
all
Man
know
City.
what we all know what rules count for in football. It's like, yeah, the lads will
Well,
die.
if you're Crystal
We'll
Palace, they
die
count for
when we
quite a
want
lot.
them. But I'm just not emotionally exercised by this anymore, because previously I would be saying, oh, so and so won't leave because staying at the Albion makes more sense, which is normally true, by the way. But and there'll be like some emotional that just isn't how it works. So it'll get done or it won't. Wake me up when it's over and let's proceed from there on.
Okay, well, let's look at the players that have come in. There's a lot of reasons to be cheerful about that. And obviously, we've Tizmas, well, he came in January, but obviously he is here officially now. Babis is here. Hit me, Babis, one more time. He is going to be. I think what we've got to learn from the from last season is these players. I don't think we're going to see them for a while. I think they're going to be dipped in and out. I think actually the players we signed last year, we're going to see a lot more of this year, because they've had time to settle, and it has taken some of them a bit more time. But one player who looks like he could come straight into the starting lineup, Vicky, is Maxim Dekuyper. We got a look at him on Saturday. What do you think?
It's a difficult game to call, isn't it, in a pre-season friendly, because especially the last one, you never really know how much players are putting into it. Yes, it's about getting fit, but at the same time, no one wants to get injured in that last game. There was an absolutely flair turn he did in the first half, which had the crowd applauding, didn't they? And obviously he scored the goal, and I think his goal scoring record is pretty good, certainly for Belgium. It is pretty good, so that's promising. I think he's one of those ones that comes with a reputation of being very good in the attacking sense. Perhaps it needs a bit of work in the defensive sense, but he does appear to be an actual fullback rather than someone else being pegged into the fullback sort of position, and that's been an issue for us. I'm hoping that we aren't going to go into the season with Mats Wieffer at fullback, but I suspect we probably are. I
Well,
don't know where
I'm not
Veltman is.
sure. I'm not sure on that one. I mean, the problem we've had this year is obviously what we used to be able to do. We used to get a decent idea of what the team's going to be from the first game of the season, from the team that starts in the last friendly. But because of the way they've done it this year, where they've been playing 2 games a day, so they had the game behind closed doors on Saturday morning, and then obviously the game at the Amex on Saturday afternoon, and both teams were very, very strong. I mean, and post-match, Fabian was very keen to talk about Joel Veltman and the fact that how good he looked in the game behind closed doors. And also we've got Ferdi, who started in that game as well. He's also can start on either flank. I mean, I really, really enjoyed watching Mats Wieffer towards the end of the season, and I think he's getting much, much better. He settled, but I don't think he's a fullback. And
I don't think Vifa's ever been bad. He just had that unfortunate moment in the Wolves game, which he took all the blame for, despite the fact that people like Purvis was in a game we were 2-0 up in with a few minutes left. Purvis is 75 yards up the pitch chasing a break on goal. And actually, you question him with that. I would question several other players that Matias Cunha ran past on that occasion. But poor old Vifa got all the stick in that game, and it seemed to follow me around for the rest of the season. And then he had numerous injuries. I think Vifa is a really solid player, but I do think he's a central midfielder. And certainly, if we go into the season without Belhiba for whatever reason, match fitness, or God forbid he does get sold, Then Vifa's probably the person that needs to sit at the back of the midfield. He's done fine at the end of last season, but he hasn't got the pace for me to be a right back. I know Joel hasn't either, but Joel seems to have that, you know, he's got the
Extra
mentality,
yard.
and then, if not that, the shithousery to cope with it.
Outhousery, Vicky. It's outhousery. But okay, so we also got a couple of new defenders to look forward to seeing. First of which being Olivier Boscagli, who came in from PSV on a free. He looks great. I don't know how, again. He didn't feature in the game on Saturday in either of them, actually. But he's one that looks like he could step right in, Andy.
Totally agree. I think there's an emphasis with Boscagli and Maxim de Kuyper is like the ability to bring the ball forward, passing ability. Boscagli is just pass. It's just a great pass of the ball. Progresses the game going forward, which is kind of, we like our centre halves to do that. As ironically, that's one of Dunk's best features is that. Attributes that he's capable of, like pinging a great 60-yard ball or a great through ball through the midfield to get up. He's obviously more mobile than Dunk, and I think with Coppola coming in as well, he's kind of more like your linchpin, defender, the sort of. The Waitrose version of Shane Duffy, for instance. A guy that's got that physical just get in the way of the ball mentality. Boscagli can like tackle, dink his foot in, but he can also bring it out and progress. And that's very much like a Hertzler facet from his time at Sampdoria was like they were always bringing the ball forward, the ball's moving around the pitch, not just like one player doing it, but just like this whole sort of mobile style of play. Boscagli looks like and he just looks I he looks really classy. I'm very excited to see him. I think our defense is going to look different at the end of the season than it will at the start, because I mean that does bring up like the elephant in the room, which is Dunk. Is he going to be a star at the end of the season? I would say no.
Well, that's a conversation which we'll be having throughout the season. And one player that could take his place is Diogo Coppola, or is it Coppola, Vicky? Please give me a steer.
Coppola.
Thank you. But again, he's coming from Hellas Verona for about 11 million of your English pounds. He's looked great pre-season. He's already playing for the Italy first team. So, already made, I think, 80 appearances in Serie A for Hellas Verona. So, I mean, he's one to get excited about. But I don't think, again, it's one we're going to see immediately.
Maybe not, but I like the fact that we've attacked this position,
Yeah.
this area of the team in the off season with a view to making changes to a part of the team that wasn't working. We don't know whether it's going to work out or not, but if you've got like Ferdi and De Kuyper as the fullbacks, Boscagli, Coppola, and like Van Egger in the middle, that looks like a quicker, more mobile, back defense that can also transition play really quickly as
Yeah.
well. So let's see how it plays out. I think the defense might look slightly familiar at the beginning of the season, but I think it will evolve as we go on.
Well, that's something that I did pick up on the friendlies, and again we saw it on Saturday, is the fact that the speed, there's a lot of speedy interchange between the players. They're pressing higher, they're trying to play it around quicker. So that'll be interesting to see how long that lasts. But I mean, they did get undone quite quickly with balls over the top again, and players being caught out of position. So having the pace that Coppola's got, and Boscagli and JP, it could be crucial for us if for success. But that is the question I wanted to ask, guys. So what does success look like for us this season?
Top six and possibly a trophy.
Nicky?
I think qualifying for Europe, I think has got to be our success after last year's disappointment. Having seemingly had everything we needed to achieve it, I think this season, we've just spoken about a group of players we've signed for an awful lot of money, and one or two of them, very excited to see them getting straight into it. And I'd almost like Babis to get straight into it as well. I know he's 18, and perhaps he'll go out on loan, or perhaps he won't start. But I think let's chuck him in the mix. Let's start banging some goals in right at the start, because as you were saying, with those players at the back who can really play the ball out, those new guys, they can play the ball out. They can play it out quickly. Apparently, in the friendlies, I haven't seen them. Very, very quick passing. Yes, you've got to make sure the line isn't too high to get the balls played over the top. But we did deal with that last season fairly quickly. If you've got somebody like this Greek wonderkind, well, let's use him. Let's get him some goals. If you're good enough, you're old enough. Michael Owen
Well,
did it when he was 18. So.
his goal prowess is killing me. Well, then Vicky got a bit, told me off for
No.
saying that.
So that's the way I see it, that we've chucked in a whole bunch of new players this season, as we did last season. I kind of hope and think that the players we've brought in are players to become first team players pretty quickly, pretty early on. So fingers crossed. And we've got
I'm
a
not
couple
sure
of
that's going to
injuries
happen.
coming
I don't.
through.
We learned that last season where we thought we'd bought a few box fresh players who were going to go straight into the first team, but it just didn't happen.
Most of that was injury related, I think. You know,
Yeah, a lot of it was, but
there's no doubt in my mind that some of those players would have. You know, Kadiolu came in injured. Vifa started the season, I think, and then got a knock in the first game, didn't he?
yeah,
Or
O'Reilly.
O'Reilly
O'Reilly.
got
O'Reilly.
crocked. So yeah.
But one player I didn't mention there was Tommy Watson, who's also come in from Sunderland. Obviously scored the goal that got them to the Premier League. But again, he's a player I'm not sure we're going to see an awful lot of.
We
I
don't
don't.
forget, AD,
They're not suggesting he's going to be loaned, have they?
three competitions here. It's a shame we're not in Europe, because then we had a squad for four. But if we go, in the later rounds of the League Cup and, start, God forbid the FA Cup as well, we need these players fit. And, it's a long season in the Premier League as well, don't forget. And there are going to be two different teams playing in the cups and in the league, as there always is, but at least we've actually got, strength in depth now, which maybe we haven't in the past.
Well, that's it though, Andy, isn't it? Because I mean, it's not necessarily the team that starts the game, it's the team that finishes the game. So there are starters and finishers now. There is a lot of competition for places in this, and it is very much a squad game, isn't it? So I think that a lot of the players are going to have to be patient to wait for their opportunity. But when it comes, they've got to take it, eh?
Well, absolutely. I mean, again, I think, this season it's not only going to be a tough team to get into, it's going to be a tough bench to get on. So, particularly for those midfield positions, you're going to have competition. Like Marcus is right. We need two teams to compete, because I think, we will be aiming for a trophy. Even though I thought it was a good season last season, that the frustration is real. The club wanted to be in Europe, and I think that is the correct aspiration for this season. That doesn't mean we're going to get it, because it's really hard to do, but I do think that is what we should be aiming for. And if we get it, then that will represent success. But it's just great that we're actually in a position for that to be a realistic ambition now. But you have got to go out and make it happen. And I think we've got a load of exciting players. So like people like the players we've brought in like last season, like Gomez, it's going to be better. He's used getting used to the physicality of the Premier League. Same with Brian Gruder. Same with Matt Swiefer, who I think has acclimatized pretty well, particularly in his preferred position. Yassin Ayari as well, the man that played himself into the squad when he was heading out of it in last season's pre-season. Obviously, we haven't even mentioned Jack Hinshelwood yet. We're doing all right. I mean, yes, Babis, Simas, really exciting players. Tommy Watson, very intriguing prospect and exciting player. But they don't have to be great right now. We've got a team, but they will have the opportunity to work their way in it. And if they are good
Yeah.
enough, they will get in.
Okay. Well, you are listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast, and in association with Flowers Unlimited. Well, now is the time where we get down to the nuts and bolts of it, boys and girls. This is the time where we get to prove just how little we know. Actually, Andy didn't do too badly last season.
Can't remember what I said.
Oh, your wild card is usually the same one, so I'm looking forward to seeing what that is. But I've asked everybody for their predictions for what they think is going to be the player of the season, the top goal scorer, where we're going to finish, who's going to get the most assists, and a wild card. So we're going to start with you, Marcus. Who do you think is going to be the player of the season?
Right, okay. If Belieber stays, it'll be him. If he does get sold, then it'll be Minté. I have to hedge my bets because there's a lot of chat around it. But if not,
So
so at the end of
this is who you're
the
trying to sell, is it?
season. Yeah, quite, yeah. Yeah. So if Belieber's still here, then put me down for Carlos Belieber,
I've put
number
you
one.
down for Carlos Belieber. Vicky, who have you gone for?
I've also gone for Belieber. I think
Belieber.
not just wishful thinking.
Okay. Andy, do you agree?
I've gone for Georginio Rutter because he's just
Righty.
so, as long as he's fit and plays most of the games, he's just such a lovable character that I just think the fan favorite nature of his playing style is one that will lead the voters in that direction.
Now, Philip Shelley, are you in agreement with our esteemed Mr. Bass, or are you going to pick someone else?
I think it will be an extra strong Minty.
Minté, blimey, that is a good choice, and I can confirm that Al has gone for Jorginho as well. So, last year I went for Mats Wiefer. I was kind of tempted to do that again this year because I'm determined that I'm sure there's going to be a player in there that is just going to be absolutely great this season. But I don't think it will be him. I think obviously Carlos Belieber is going to be a very, very strong contender. Again, just the joy that man exudes, and like doing his little goggles and his little dances. It's just the joyous player, as is Jorginho. But I think it will be Jorginho Rutter. So I have gone for Jorginho Rutter. Okay, top goal scorer then, Philip Shelley.
Danny Welbeck, please.
Danny Welbeck for Phil. Okay, Marcus Hancocks.
Same as Phil, that guy. I think I nearly said Matoma, but I'm going to go
Well,
with
Matoma,
Welbeck.
joint goal top goal scorer last year with 10 with Danny.
Thank you, Luke. But at the moment, yeah. Goodbye.
Mr. Bass,
I'm going to go
who's going to
for
make the net bulge for you?
Minté, Yankuba
Minté, interesting.
Minté.
Okay, Vicky.
I am going to say a wildly optimistic Seamus.
Love it.
Oh, you've got to
I love
have
the way
some
you
hope.
pronounce that, Vicky. You do so much better than me.
You've got to have a better
Yeah, love it.
I have gone for I've gone for that guy as well. Al has gone for Jorginho. So I'm just writing this down
I
as
think
well.
one of us is going to be right in that, aren't they? One or two of us.
Indeed. Okay, so where are we going to finish this season, Vicky Reece?
I scribbled eighth again just because I want to know that we've sorted out the defence, I think, but I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised.
Okay, Marcus Hancocks.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Vicky, actually. I think eighth this
And
season.
Andy Bass.
I think we'll finish in the top eight.
No,
So, are you
don't.
saying eighth? Or
No, sorry, I had an answer for another question, so this caught me on the
Yes.
spot.
Me too.
Sorry, I'll
Yeah,
go
well, you
because
can answer that question as well. I was told it wasn't realistic by
yeah,
the answer
I
to these,
will
so.
go. I'm gonna go seventh.
Seventh. I'm well optimistic. I've gone fifth.
I don't believe you, AD. Quite right too. Last season it was in our grasp. So
Yeah.
yeah,
And
well
fifth
done.
is fifth. I think it's going to be Champions League
I've
again.
got a
So,
reason. I've got a
I
reason
can't.
for this.
Al has told me what he said. Hang on, I will tell you what he said. I think he said eighth. Oh no, he said Al has said sixth.
There
So,
you go.
yeah, we'll be optimistic on that one. Okay,
You
number
asked me.
six. What about Phil?
Who is going to be our top assist?
on.
Have I not asked you, Phil?
What
What
about
about
me?
me?
Phil?
What about me?
What about me?
Go on, think of a number. Come on, Johnny Ball.
Well, I answered the question, how many goals did we score from set pieces, which was the first question you told us to answer, and I said
Yes.
seven, so I'm going to say seventh.
Yeah, all right. I have also answered the goal scoring number goal, and I said 10, so there we go. But so you said seventh, yeah? Right. Okay. Right. Okay, so who is going to be our biggest assister? Of this season, Andy.
Minter, gonna be top
Okay.
scorer and top assister.
Okay. Marcus?
Ruta, I think. He was
Georgie?
signed to do the Pascal Gross, so it will be Ruta this season.
Okay. Vicky?
Mitoma.
Mitoma. Phil?
Mitoma also.
Mitoma. I have gone for Minté, and Al has gone for Georginio Ruta. And this is the fun part. So we come down to the wild card. Now, Andy, how wild are you this season?
I don't know if I'm that wild, because I'm very tired after Bloodstock, so trying to think of anything for this question, but I have got an answer for you.
Okay.
And I think we will win goal of the season on match of the day again.
Nice.
Well, that's a good one. We've had two in recent years, so that's last two of the last 3 years, is it?
Yeah,
But
I just think the way that we attack is so fun to watch. Like from the little I've seen from the pre-season friendlies, I think we're going to score a goal that everyone's going to go, "Oh, that's sweet. I love it."
yeah.
But I think we'll
Yeah.
do it again.
And who's going to score it?
All right, bloody hell, lady.
Is on season going to come back to life and like
I think it'll probably be Mitoma or Jorginho that will
yeah.
score it, but Minter has set it
Okay.
up.
Marcus, what have you got for me?
Okay, well, this is a wild card. And I've been thinking about it for a long time, so I'm going to say it. I don't think Fabian Hursler will be in charge next season.
Fabian sacked.
Not quite,
Or
no. Something
poached.
like coming for him. But, I think this season is going to, I hope I'm wrong, maybe. But, yeah, we shall see. There's my wild card.
Phil, can you be equally as random?
I can. I've got two wild cards for you
Oh,
because
good.
Louise, the lovely Louise, who's sitting next door writing posts about Bloodstock at the moment, she came up with one wild card and I came up with another. So I'll tell you the two wild cards so you can guess who said what.
Okay.
One, we will finish below Palace. Two, we will finish fourth.
I think you said Palace, and Louise said fourth.
Spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're wild cards for a reason.
Okay.
So
Vicky.
Palace might finish third and we'll finish fourth. Who knows?
I think someone in one of the BBC or Guardian predictions had Palace finishing third, interestingly. Only one, though.
What? Are
Disgraceful.
you kidding
Absolutely
me?
disgraceful.
Yeah,
Well,
well,
who
you
do you think the
know.
messenger? I didn't predict it.
I'll have what they're drinking.
My predictions. Oh, God, I was struggling a bit with this. I think I am going to predict. I have kind of, gone a little bit wild here, but I am going to predict that by the time I get to the Amex for the first game, they will still have some cauliflower curry vegan pies left in the catering bit. So
The
it's
vegan
a long
pies?
shot.
Well,
It's a long shot, but I'm willing to put my neck on the line there.
like that one.
I mean, if you want a random one, I can't think of anything else really.
Yeah.
Hinchinwood in the England squad. Put that.
You know what I've got, Vic? Hinchinwood's going to play for England this season.
Oh my God, I'm agreeing with AD. Bloody hell.
Oh,
I don't think he's going to go to the World Cup, but I think he will get selected for England, for the full England team, and he might have a possibility of going to the World Cup because he is quite literally a jack of all trades, and because his versatility could play in his favour because he can play in a multitude of positions, and it's a good squad player to have around.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there we go.
What
Our
was Alan's?
Yes, I have got Alan's here. Hang on, bear me 2 seconds. He has said that Danny Welbeck is going to break Michael Robinson's goal scoring record.
I thought that was just going to be Danny Welbeck is going to break, and I thought that's not wild enough.
Danny Welbeck is going to play for England. How about that? There
Yeah,
you
well,
go.
that could also happen. But I mean, obviously, I think these are all a bit of fun. I hope you're joining in at home as well. Let us know what you think, and make sure. And if you could make sure that there are some cauliflower vegan pies left over for Vicky, that would be really
A
helpful.
really good pie I had one the other day.
It's like I mean, Andy's eyes lit up. So
Yeah, I want this pie, and I can't
yeah.
go Saturday.
Recommend
But
it.
alas, sadly, that is all we have time for this week. So, happy new season, everybody. We will be back next week. Hopefully, Al will be back as well. Enjoy the Fulham game. But thank you in the meantime to Phil Shelley. Thank you to
Thank
Andy
you.
Bass. Thank you to Marcus Hancocks. Thank you to Vicky Rees. I've been AD Packham, and this has been the Albion Roar on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast and in association with Flowers Unlimited. We'll see you again soon. Thanks for listening. Bye.